These guys were at the stadium. That was at the stadium when they called in the coming in hotline.
It was a weird feeling all the way around at that stadium. People were very uneasy early on. Obviously, the team didn't give you a ton of reasons to cheer. And then there were so many Dallas Cowboy fans. I was a little surprised. We always know. I mean, the Cowboys, they're the team. They have fans in every town. I get it. Bandwagon fans like Mitch Spinell, who's on the show.
How was that for you? Zeke Elliott scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I didn't feel good about any of that yesterday.
You sure? Or are you just saying that for lip service?
Seemed devastated.
I mean, I feel for you guys, just, and I feel for myself.
I don't need your pity.
Not pitying you guys.
You just said you feel for us. That's pity.
I feel for you just because I'm an emotional person.
I don't want you to feel for me. In fact, I'd like to talk enough trash to you that you actually hate my guts and get mad at me, so then I can get mad at you, and then we can get going here. That's what I kind of want. Because it's actually, you know, now I am actually pretty upset about this whole ordeal. Good. I didn't think I was, but now I am. And I know that some of this is I'm going to take it out on Mitch. I apologize before we even do this. Because I'm mad at the Browns, really. That's who I'm really mad at. But I'm mad at Mitch, because there are hardcore fans out there that really care about this football team, that care about their history, and certainly care about their future. And then you got you, who just picks and chooses when to drop in whenever. That's the problem I have.
I mean, I think it's
going
well for me. You
26-year-old manlet.
Actually, I'm 27. I just turned 27 the other day.
Happy birthday. I'm glad Zeke Elliott got the end zone for you.
This is why I didn't tell you guys.
Why? You didn't think we would get you a cameo from Zeke Elliott or Mike McCarthy or Jimmy Johnson?
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Or Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones. Would you like that?
I wouldn't take a cameo from Stephen Jones.
Or CeeDee Lamb or Micah Parsons or DeMarcus Lawrence or anybody else who spent time in our backfield yesterday. Is that something you would like, Mitch?
I would have preferred Roger Staubach back, but that's okay.
Roger the Dodger. Get Roger the Dodger.
Brad Sham.
Get him in there. Brad Sham. He'll do it. What's Golden Richards doing right now? Where's sweet Gene Vincent when you need him? All right, I'm taking it out on you, and I'm sorry. We're moving on. 216-474-0092. I've had a plethora of people get in. Ken, it's on more than Watson. Damn it, I know it's on more than Watson. For the love of God, I know it's on more than Watson. But you understand here, you really understand, is that this thing ain't going to go anywhere. They played like garbage. They played like a team that just met each other. There was no cohesion. The defensive performance was trash. The offensive performance, it looked like a bunch of how to do, how to nice to meet you. They had no idea who each other's were. It looked like it was a singles meetup, for crying out loud. And they got boat raced by the Dallas Cowboys in front of God, Tom Brady, and everybody. More on Tom Brady coming up at 7:20. I mean, they got hammered by everybody. I understand all that. Guys, that is not lost on me. And I know I'm tough talking over here, but damn it, I told you last week I wasn't going to make an excuse, and I'm not going to sit there and make excuses. So the R word ain't going to come out of my mouth. Because you know what I saw yesterday? One, the R word. What I saw yesterday was somebody who was scared, who was running for his life, and at times didn't need to. Excuse me, a lot of times didn't need to go running for his life. Didn't need to take off. Could have stood in there and delivered, but was nervous. How is he nervous? Because you could see it right there in front of yourself. Don't take your own intelligence lightly. Because you want to maybe talk yourself out of it, fine. I hope you're able to, because I can't. I don't want to sit here and act like it's DEFCON 1 because it's one game, but it's been 3 years. And what I saw yesterday was a quarterback that, while he can say in any press conference he wants to or any social media video that he's confident in himself and mention his name in the third person all he wants, I saw something different. I saw a guy who was nervous from opening kickoff to the very end, to the point where he was looking for answers and they just weren't there. At one point, they showed him on the sideline and people were mad about how he looked on the sideline. I saw a guy who was bewildered thinking, I'm never going to get this back.
Well, okay,
whatever it was,
here's what I do want
it
to
ask, ain't coming back.
Because we're talking, both of us, in a broad sense, a macro level.
Of course.
Because it's year three and all this. I mean, the guy did have pretty substantial surgery last year. And I know no fans want to hear that in year three.
I don't want to hear it either.
But that is a reality. Like, when you watch the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers, they play tonight, right? When you watch them, people are going to be looking to see how he moves after having the surgery that he had. I think it stands to reason that there's probably a chance Deshaun Watson didn't really know what that what that reconstruction, whatever was going on with his arm, his shoulder, what that was going to look like. And that was the first chance. I mean, you can say, hey, I made all the throws in training camp. He didn't play in any preseason games. Never had a guy, you know, barreling down on him. Like, this was going to be an opportunity to finally test it, and this was the first chance. In game speed, it stands to reason that he didn't know.
But
you can act with all sorts of bravado and confidence, and you can have all the people around you trying to hype you up. And maybe that's exactly what that was from Quincy Avery this week, from Ken Dorsey, from the team, from the organization. Everybody was hyping you up. The players were all like, he's back. He is no limitations whatsoever. How could they know? No way they could possibly know that.
Let me turn around on you. Do they feel like he might be lacking confidence? And that is that why they had to say all
maybe,
those things?
Maybe.
And had to be so public and so outward with it. Now, how great he looks coming back when none of us saw really anything. He didn't play in any preseason games. And we've beat that dead horse a million times over. There's flies coming off the thing. We went crazy over that, but they went down to West Virginia. Well, there was really no video of him in West Virginia. There was really no video of him in training camp. There was really only highlights that were put out by the team. And heck, half the highlights that they put out on the team, there were plenty of people lining up going, hey,
that's a
sack in real life. That's a sack in real life. This is a sack in real life. So, by the way, none of this absolves the offensive line. The offensive line was slop yesterday. Absolute slop. And yeah, I am worried about Andy Dickerson. I'll tell you that right damn now. But when it comes down to the quarterback, it's just as simple as they're only going to go as far as the way he can take him. And right now, he can't carry him at all.
No. And you know, to add to this, and this is where it's going to be really hard. This is like chicken or egg stuff. So good luck. I mean, you can, when the All-22 finally comes down and people stop lying about when the All-22 comes down to make a point.
Call of the day.
That was the call of the day. I love the confidence, by the way, of that caller. Who just moved on when you called
him
out.
That's the way you got to talk about it. That's the way you got to be.
But it is hard with Deshaun Watson, and we've had Greco, we've had Joe Thomas, we have everybody's told us the same thing. It's really hard to discern whether or not it's the offensive line or it's Deshaun when he plays, because he always takes sacks, always. Even with the great line last year, and there was a difference when Flacco came in and got rid of the football as designed, wasn't getting sacked at the level that Deshaun Watson gets sacked at. And so, yeah, to the naked eye, I mean, the offensive line had their struggles yesterday. You expected that against that front, and especially against Micah Parsons and what he does well. But also, Deshaun Watson caused a few of those sacks yesterday.
Are there any excuses? 216-474-0092. I will offer not a single one. I'm going to be a man of my word. Jim and Perry, you're first up on the fan. Hello.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Jim.
So, yesterday I went in there with an open mind watching the game. I kind of had an unsettling feeling all morning for whatever reason. And I started watching it, and I think there's two things that I saw. One, the offense caused, I would say, offense and special teams caused 14 of the Dallas 31, or however many. I didn't finish the game. The interceptions and the punt return, obviously. The defense came in there and, you know, first drive, got them all fired up and out. The only thing that I'm worried about, other than Deshaun Watson not being our quarterback, because he's done. I'm glad you said it about 5 minutes ago. You saw that look on the side of him on the sideline. I think he knows that he's done. And it just this failed experiment, it's kind of soul-sucking.
It's not an experiment. I mean, it's a full-on it's a full-on buy-in, an investment. It's just right now it's a bad investment. It's not an experiment.
But the one thing I'm worried about from this point on is if he comes out and keeps playing like this, maybe gets a little bit better each game, maybe he doesn't. But what is that going to do for the offense?
If he plays better?
No. What I'm saying is if he continues this level of play and his receivers, running backs, linemen start losing – more and more confidence in him.
Then you're going to have to be forced to make a change.
Okay, that's
a player. If he plays anywhere near as bad as he did yesterday, in the subsequent weeks, we have to have that conversation. We have to have that. We have to have that talk. And on the outset of the season, I didn't believe it would ever be a conversation, but we have to have that conversation with each other. And maybe it's shouting into the wind. It might be because of the investment that they've made in him. But if he's anywhere close to this, I can't believe that he would be close to this, but I haven't seen next week. Who knows? Maybe it's a big unveiling of wait until you see what I got next. But if he plays anywhere near to this over the coming weeks, the conversation is going to get louder because you have to save the team from himself. That's what you're going to have to do because it's not just a skill thing here, guys. It's not that. What you saw was a complete lack of self-confidence out there on the field. Confidence in himself, confidence in his teammates. And eventually, yes, as Jim says, and I disagree a lot with a lot of Jim's calls, that will start to come back on him with his teammates that he's playing with.